Sunday on the way out today. Also, if you're here visiting, be sure and fill out one of these blue cards. They're very instrumental in us knowing who's here and who's not. Also, if you'd like to be a part of our text thing and you're not, or if you have a prayer request, leave one of these, put them in the back, clear plastic receptacle, and you are good to go. Well, we're glad you're here today. Let's pray, and we'll get right in it. Jesus, it is good to be together, to worship together, and I thank you for the people that put in their time every week to lead us as we sing together and as we worship you together. I thank you for Rick and people like Rick that come up here and every week give their time to lead us and to challenge us. And then, God, right now we just pray for this time of opening your word and looking at it and seeing what you have for us today. I pray that you'll help me to be clear and concise, to the point, and not say anything that is of me, but just of you. And God, just give you permission through your Holy Spirit, not that you need it, but we ask you to just come and be here and to hear the cries of our hearts, because I know that people walked in here today with many cries. And so, Father, would you not just hear them, but would you act on them, as I know that you're already working on them, and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in a series called Becoming a One Another Church, and what that basically essentially means is that we are trying to look at Scripture to see the things that God wants us to become better at, the things that maybe that we can improve upon, things that He wants in us to help His church be the church here in Franklin and beyond. And so we're going to dive right in today. Romans 15:7 says this: accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Romans 15:7. Just as Christ accepted you. And that's a tall order. Because Christ accepted us while we were yet sinners. He accepted us when we were a mess. He accepted us when we didn't accept Him, when we didn't love Him. He accepted us when we were opposed to Him, for some of us. And it says very bluntly, it says, accept one another. And that shines a light on Jesus. When you accept each other, you shine a light on Jesus. It doesn't say worship the Lord. It doesn't say serve one another. It says accept one another. And when you do that, you take God's glory and you shine it on His church. And so today, that's the becoming one another thing that we're going to talk about today, is accepting one another. This has been a real challenging one for me because it's simple. It's a real simple thing. And all of us are very, I think we're in a situation where we could take this very lightly and say, well, I accept everybody. I love everybody. And that may be true, but I think there's some more depth that God wants to bring into us. I think He wants us to lean in a little bit more and listen with our spirit and with our heart what that means to accept one another as we become a one another church. Max Lucado tells a story, one of my favorite current Christian authors. He says, once upon a time in a land far away, unlike our own, there was a tidy, well-manicured little neighborhood. And they kept the streets clean, and they kept the lawns trimmed. They had goldfish bowls, and each contained a goldfish. They walked their dogs along the streets. They waved at the mailman. Some of them are like, some of us would be like, well, where is this at? I want to go there. Or it sounds too weird. It was a quiet existence. And then their lives were turned upside down because one day, a loud, brash man moved in on the corner of Elk and Ohm. A man, not a family man, not a couple, a single man, and his name was Levi. Levi, as it turns out, drove a Corvette. He was souped up. He liked the top back. It turned out he mowed his lawn with his shirt off. Levi installed a pool and a deck and a grill and an outdoor speaker system. He had parties till late hours of the night with all of his friends from the seedy side of town. And so when the fine people of the fine neighborhood on Sunday morning began their trek to drive to church, They went and looked at this lawn, and it was covered with beer cans and people sleeping in the street. And all the cans would be all littered over, and it just looked like a mess. And they would turn to their kids and say, "That man needs Jesus." And so Jesus literally came into Levi's neighborhood, like in the flesh. Max says he walked the streets. He went into the nice neighborhood. He went door to door looking for someone to whom he could just have a simple conversation. Looking for somebody he could grill a hamburger with. Looking for someone that just wanted to play a game of pool. Somebody that was not so busy. Everyone was too busy except for Jesus and the man in the house in the corner of Oak and Elm. Levi and Jesus hit it off. They laughed, they talked, they discussed life, and eventually Levi told Jesus about his sordid past, and he had a bad one, he had a big one. Levi would listen as Jesus would talk about forgiveness, and Jesus would talk about the future, and his little mind was just blown to bits. And so today I want to talk to you what he said after that. He just said two simple words to Levi, and we find those two words from Max's story. And of course, his story is about Levi, which later became Matthew. We find it in Luke chapter 5, verse 27, where Jesus says to Levi, after all that hubbub and all the neighbors thinking that he needed Jesus, he says, "Follow me." And he did. Levi followed Jesus, and he became an author of the book of Matthew. He became a disciple. He became an apostle. Levi worked for the Roman government. And he was a crumb in the eyes of everybody who knew him. They didn't like him. Levi cared more about financial success. He cared more about the culture in which he was living than anything else. He cared about himself. And Jesus came, and the Bible says he accepted him. I want you to drink this in a little bit this morning. Well, Jeff, what do you mean by accepting? Because that's a big word today. Because right now our world, acceptance has kind of a broad definition. Now tune in, don't tune out on me. It has a huge, broad definition. So I want to make sure that we're all getting this today. What's the biblical definition of acceptance? I think I got it in here. Accept means to receive someone into your life and to see them as valuable. I want to keep that up there for a minute. To receive somebody into your life and to see that they have value, they bring value to not only to themselves, but to you and to others. Accept means that. It's a word that we don't think about very much. Because most of us, if I ask you, are you an accepting person? You say, yeah, I love people. I like people. I'm okay with them. But this is true. Because one of the things about acceptance is, the opposite of it is the word rejection. Rejection, because rejection is the opposite of acceptance. And I want to talk about this a minute because it's one of the reasons why our world is in the shape it is in. You can't go talk to a parent that doesn't have kids in school and your kids aren't talking, or you're talking about things like furries. And you hear this word furry. What is a furry? And there's people that are being cats, and there's people that are being different things like that. You hear strange things about, you know, the different things that are going on, because they're all looking for acceptance somewhere. And if somebody gives it to them, they're going to gravitate towards it. Doesn't matter how obscure, how weird, how strange it is. If somebody says, "That's cool, you're in," so to speak, then it's all good. It's all good. And that's why we're in the shape we're in, because there's a lot of not acceptance, because people are different. And when people are different, most times we don't always let them into our sphere. We don't let them into our little bubble that makes us us. So let's talk about rejection for just a minute. It's the way that we reject people. And when we reject people, we push people out. We don't even realize it. Sometimes we keep different people away from us at arm's length, and we don't even know that we're doing it. But I want to say to you today, I believe there's a lot of us here today that are at not at peace with this, because I believe that you have people, so many of us in this room and watching online, we have people this far away. We keep them here because if we do that, you know what happens? We don't get hurt. If we do that, we don't have to get involved. If we do that, we don't have to do very much. And as we're journeying to become the church that Jesus wants us to become, becoming one another church, Jesus has called us to press in and to drop our arms and to draw people unto us as unto the Lord. And a lot of us have a real problem with that. And a lot of you would readily admit it. And some of you would be, no, I like everybody. But I wonder if that's really true. The Bible says that Jesus accepted Levi. Jesus saw what nobody else saw. And that's the eyes we have to see when it's these people that we don't necessarily are not like us. We have to see them as Jesus sees them. We have to look with a different set of eyes. And he started to come in close to Levi. He started to listen to Levi. He started to embrace Levi. And then Levi began to embrace him. So Jesus accepted him. And all of a sudden, something happens. Jesus starts seeing his friends show up. Here comes Levi's friends, time after time after. Here comes another friend. Here comes another friend. And these friends start coming in. And basically Levi's saying, hey, I found the guy that accepts my kind of people. The broken, the people that nobody, the Jews don't like. I found somebody who loves me for just me. Levi started discovering his worth. He didn't have to go knock on his door and say, here's a fivefold plan of how to become a Christian. He got close to him, and he showed him love, and he showed him that what it meant to be accepted. The word that Jesus most used to disciples is the word meno, M-E-N-O, meno, I think, not meno, meno, which means to abide, to hang with, to literally to hang with. Our church for the last 21 years has been really good at that in a lot of different points. The last 4 or 5 years, I would say right before COVID, we started getting tougher and tougher with this. We started, because we would abide, man, we would say on weekends, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and everybody would show up, and we go here, and we go there, and we do all these things, and we just did it as a family. In the last 4 or 5 years, not so much. And so it translates inside this room. That when somebody walks in here, they're not always looked at as an improvement to our church. And that's wrong. That's wrong. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. So to abide means to let somebody into your sphere of influence, to hang, to laugh, to cry, to be able to understand where they are. And Levi started discovering all these things. And literally, Jesus gave him a new name, and his name was Matthew. No doubt, there was a catch in that. You know what the catch was? Matthew means a gift of God, a gift of God. Matthew, you are a gift. You think any Jew thought up to that point that he was a gift of God? They thought he was a scum of the earth. And Jesus looked at him and said, I'm going to rename you. You're a gift of God. And there's some renaming that needs to happen in our church today. Some of you need to start to see people as a gift and not as a bother. Somebody who sits in your seat, probably. Somebody who takes some other attention from somebody else. I'm just being honest. Being honest. See, we have to start abiding again with each other. We have to start pressing in again with each other. I don't think we've always done that, but here lately, I think that's been a big case. And I want to not to make you feel guilty today. I want to press you on. I want to press into you and say, come on, church, start being who God has called you to be. Start being who you know. Start taking some risk, because when you do that, you get hurt. There's no doubt. I can't tell you how many people that don't come to this church anymore because they felt they got hurt. They got hurt because somebody Somebody asked too much of him. Somebody, that's all they looked at him as this person that's just, they're going to fix this. They're going to take care of that. They're going to do this. And it hurts. It hurts to be used as an object. And we just need to look at people for who they are, not for what they can do for us, and not for what they can do for the church, but for what their place in the kingdom of God is. This is important, church. It is important. This is a picture of Jesus in our lives. It's this thing with Levi and Jesus. This is what it looks like for a Savior that no matter what anybody else saw, he sees the unlovable as a gift. Accept one another just as Christ has accepted you. Okay, so how do we do that? How do we do that for other people? Let's go to the screen. I got a couple of the story of this, and I want to read just right down through it with you. Verses Luke 5, 29 through 31. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of collectors and others were eating with them. Now, I want you to understand this. This guy that nobody liked, what did he do? The first thing he did is he went and got all the other scumbags, and he brought them in for a great banquet. And he had a bunch of hors d'oeuvres. He had a bunch of drinks. He had a bunch of stuff. Just this is this guy, Jesus. And I'm telling you, he knows who I am, and he listened to me. The church didn't have to go out and spend a bunch of money and have a big dinner. Levi spent his own money and said, come on in, all you guys. They didn't have to have an outreach. They just came. Why? Because there was somebody that treated them differently. Well, that's so simple, but it is so big. It is huge. Moving on. Here, they're at this great party. So then, here's where the rub comes in. The next verse, 30. Nope, sorry. My bad. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? So here are these Pharisees whose very name means set apart, separated. They're separated. That was their job. They were supposed to be separated from the world. They'd separated themselves so far from the world that they didn't touch the world. They didn't like the world. They didn't want anything to do with the world. They come and they complain. And you know who they complain to? Not to Jesus. They complain to his disciples. Hey, bubs, what's he doing? What's he thinking here? And the disciples are bewildered and going, well, he's telling who he is to the people here. He's showing them his mission. And they're just befuddled. They're mad. They're angry that Jesus would sit down with such people of such ill repute. Why would you do that? How in the world would Jesus do that? Which lends us to the next one. I think Jesus kind of was in the room and he heard this little rumbling going. And I picture him, his head kind of popping up and saying this next verse. Jesus answered him, hey, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Here's what he says. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but it's the sick. It's the sick who need a doctor. Most of you in here don't need the doctor on a daily basis. You already got your main issue taken care of. You and Jesus are like this. You are going to heaven. You come here to get filled up, to go out and do other things with other people, not just for yourself. Not just for yourself. You come here to be a light in the community. You come here to get built up because you get beat down during the week. And the other people that come in here, they're beat down too. And the people that come in here need to know that you are faithful and that you are still serving Jesus. That's why so many people are staying home. That's wrong. So many people aren't going to church. That's not right. Because when you walk in this room, you're saying, I give my time. It's important. It's important not just for me. It's important for others to see me being faithful, to see me being obedient. It's so important. So the Pharisees are kind of put back in their place. Hey, I didn't come for the Pharisees are going, they're not sick. We just don't like them. You ever been there? Got people that you don't like? Got people that you're not going to sit by? Got people that you're not going to talk to? I don't know them. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they look like. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what's going on. So I'm just going to ignore them. What the heck? What the heck, church? What the heck? Let's talk about rejection a little bit. Let's talk about rejection, and I'll get back to this. Do you know, I wish Tanya was here because she could back me up on this, but I did a little bit of medical research, which means I got on the internet. Sorry. That's all it means. You know, I love when Yancey tells me I did this research, and I'm like, Yancey, that I know where you got it. It's on the internet. I got it. Our research, but anyway, the medical community says this. If I was to take your arm and I was to cut it off, and at the same time I cut your arm off, I gave you an MRI, there could be seen in your brain a reaction to the pain that happens when you get your arm sliced off. It would be in a very adverse reaction, and it would light the screen up in a form that they can tell that there was huge pain. Did you know that the same thing can happen? You can hook somebody up to an MRI and start talking about being rejected, and the same thing shows up. The same thing shows up. Church, that's remarkable. It's remarkable because we all get to the doctor really quick when we got something coming. You know, most of us. Some of us are not so good, but most of us, if we're bleeding, we're going to go to the doctor. If we need stitches, we go to the doctor. We go to the doctor. But if there's something inside of us, we don't. We don't. We deal with it. We just deal with it. I'm not going to go talk to somebody. I'm not going to talk to a counselor. I'm not going to talk. No, not me. Not me. Ask some of the divorced people in here that have been divorced a couple times or one time how much it was hurt to be rejected. Ask them about the pain that they still feel today when they think about that other person. Ask them about the hurt and the pain of that person saying, I don't want you anymore. I chose you for life, but I don't want you anymore. That's very hurtful. You could see it. If I ask you about the time when your friends made you feel uncomfortable or inadequate and you felt rejected, you could see it. If I ask you about the time you failed and you felt insignificant and small, you could see it. If I ask you about a boss, the words that he spoke to you that make you feel incompetent, you could see it. If I ask you about going to church and no one speaks to you at that church, you could feel it and see it. Here's a little quick Jeff thing. I just did this last week just because I was wondering about it. Since January 1st, we've had 59 people that have visited our church. I know because, probably some more because people don't always fill out these cards, but 59 people have filled out these cards. 59, that's a lot of people for a little church like ours. You know, we have 125 people, whatever, and 59 people, new people, have come here since January. Five of those people are still going here. And of those 59, I've talked about six or seven. And you know what I got out of them? You know what I heard? It's kind of sad. Nobody talked to me. I went there 3 weeks and nobody even said hi. I felt like there was nobody. They were just looking at me and thought, why are you here? And I know. Understand, they're not right. I understand that. They're not right for doing that. But understand, they're broken. They're the Levites. They're Levites that come in here and going, is there anybody that's going to see my value? Is there anybody here that's going to see that there's something good in me? I get it. They're broke. I'm not saying it's all our fault. But I'm saying there's some things that need to change. We need to be very careful how we approach those folks. How is that possible in a church of this size that many people can say, I didn't feel like anybody touched me. Anybody even acknowledged that I was there. And there's some of you going, well, I try, and I know. But I think it has to be a concerted effort from the body of Christ. When we talk about being accepting of one another, it has to start here. You're not going to do it out there if you don't do it here in a safe, protected environment. You're not going to go do it with your neighbor naturally. It has to start here. Church, we've got to get a hold of this, not just in this thing, but to understand what rejection does and how people feel, because you feel it. Most of you here have been rejected by somebody, and you understand that pain, and it's deep inside of you, and it hurts. And every time it's brought up, it comes back at you. Your body remembers not being accepted deeply. And it's just like a physical arm getting cut off. That's the truth. So let me say it like this. Jesus was in this house of Levi at this banquet. And here he was in a house full of people who knew the pain of rejection. They had tasted it. They had felt it. They were far. They were distant from God. They didn't want anything to do with him. Tax collectors were wrong. I'm not saying they weren't. They were taking and ripping off the people, but they still understood rejection. And here they are in this house where Jesus is. And Jesus shows up. And Jesus said, yeah, those are the people that I came to see. That's the church's mission too. And you and I, we are the church. You're the church. And your mission is to accept one another, and it starts here. Listen to these scriptures I want to read over you tonight, today. It's not tonight. Sorry. Romans 15. We're just going to go real quickly here, Mindy. Accept one another, then just as Christ Jesus accepted you in order that you might bring praise to God. Don't forget that part. When you accept others, you bring praise to God. It's a good thing when you accept others. You bring praise to God. Next one. God shows his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. We were accepted. You were accepted just the way you are. While we were yet sinners, Jesus looked at us and goes, I love you. I love you. Thank the Lord. Next one. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to save sinners. He didn't come for people who weren't sick. Everybody's sick, but they just don't know it. And then lastly, John 7:37. I think I might have made a mistake. I'll check that. Somebody fact checks it. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. This message that we have is for anybody. It's the people that you have the hardest time loving. It's the people that you don't like. It's the people that hurt you. It's for the people that have rejected you. It's for everybody. He has come so that everyone could know who he is. I know what everybody else thinks. I know you feel like you're in a fine way here today. You walked in here, you're in a fine way, and I know that you feel like you've been pushed to the curb. Some of you have felt this rejection time and time again. And I know there's some people in your life that just are horrible. But you have to understand, because you are accepted, God is looking at you and he's saying, you have to accept them too. And so as your brother in Christ today, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to begin to accept one another. I didn't say accept their sin. I didn't say accept what they were doing. I said accept one another. Love them for who they are and let Jesus take care of the results. Let Jesus take care of the results. You're not going to change most people. The only thing that will change people is if you hang out with them and you abide with them and they see Jesus in you, that will start to move, make a difference. Jesus does the changing. Jesus takes care of those things. So I'm going to ask this, church. Will you start to look at people with your spiritual eyes? Will you start to look at others and with the spiritual eyes that God has given you? I'm asking you to see people as a gift, not as a burden. People are a gift. Those 59 people that walked in here, they chose to walk in here praying that there was something different in here that was different from someplace else. I walked into a funeral the other day. I just got to be honest with you. It was a big funeral, and I was a little late, and I got there, and I walked around, and I was asking for some things, and I couldn't find anybody to help me. I'm not saying they were wrong. I'm just saying I felt awkward walking in the building. It was strange just going in that building and going, where do I go? Where what do I do? And there was so many emotions going through me, and I'm a pastor, and I do this every day. I show up places. I show up in hospitals. It's like I'm sitting here going, this is weird. What about the people that walk through these doors that take the chance to say, this Sunday, honey, we're going to go and we're going to see if God has anything for us at that place? Wow, what a difference that would make. I don't think we'd have room here anymore if we take this serious. And I'm not here to build the church bigger. I'm here to let us become more like Christ than we were yesterday. That's it. That's it. So here's a couple things I want to send you home with. We're just about done. Give me about 4 minutes. Here they are. Number one. Three things. Look at people as a gift of God. How do we do that? Here we are. Is there somebody right now that God has planted in your life that is a gift from the Father? Is there somebody in your life that is hard to live with? Is there somebody that is just getting on your last nerve? Is there somebody you just don't like? That may be the person God's calling you to do, because they're going to have a story. They're going to have a Jesus story. And they're going to have a story that says, here's where I was, and here's where I am, and here's where I am now. God is calling us to be a little different. Look to see that whoever it is that God has planted in your life, it's a testimony in the making. Think about that person. A person you don't like, they're a testimony in the making. I got some people like that in my life, but I don't always look at them that way. I don't, and I'm wrong. Number two, will you receive them? Will you abide with them? Will you come and let them get into your space? That is a hard thing to ask, but it shouldn't be. Will you let people get into your space to pull close? We've got to get hands-on with people. You've got to get them one-on-one where you receive them, where you receive people into your life, where there's people in this world who are crying and they're joining clubs, and the adults, they do it the same thing. You know, it used to be the churches where people went to find acceptance and love. They now do it in clubs. They do it in different things. Not, I don't mean nightclubs. I mean, I was on the internet the other day, and I was looking, and it's like there's thousands of clubs. There's the bike club, and there's the car club, and there's this, the Razors club, not a new day, but just there's a Razor club. There's this club. There's that club. There's a golf club. There's you name it. There's clubs everywhere. So many clubs. And why do we do that? Because there's somebody there that makes us feel like we're okay that we're there. All the while, we've got the best thing going. We got a Savior who loves us unconditionally, who forgives us unconditionally, and we take that for granted. Boy, do we take that for granted. Boy, do we take that for granted. Lastly, will you help them discover their value? Will you take that person and help them discover how valuable they are in Jesus? Will you see them as a gift? Will you start to spend time with them? I don't know. That's my challenge to you today, to receive them to pull them in, to allow them to come in. How in the world are we ever going to speak the hope and love and the purpose of Jesus in the people's lives at a distance? It doesn't work shouting through a mega horn. It doesn't shout always just passing out tracts. It doesn't start by those kinds of things. It starts by allowing people into our proximity, because this world is not very trusting of anybody. You know how I know that? Because I'm not very trusting of anybody either. I always wonder what's really behind what they're doing. What's behind what they're saying? Isn't that wrong that a preacher says that? Because I know if I'm thinking some things like that some days, I know that so are you. I know that so are you. I'm going to ask the band to come, and we're going to pray. I'm going to ask you to look at these three things that I close with. Is there somebody right now that God has planted in your life that's a gift from the Father? Do something about it. Will you receive them, and will you help them discover their value? Let's pray. Father God, I repent of the way that sometimes I think, and I know that oftentimes I think things about other people who are different than me. I think they're never going to change. I think all kinds of stupid things. And it creates distance between me and them. Distance that I'm never going to be able to reach them if I don't drop my arms. Distance that if I don't drop some of my guard and I wrap my arms around them and cry with them and laugh with them, get them into my world. So God, I just pray today that you'll challenge our hearts and our spirits, that you'll do in us what only you can do, to create change, to create a climate in this place today of acceptance and love, purpose and forgiveness. God, just allow ourselves to start wrapping our arms around other people instead of repelling them. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here today and there's something else going on with you, some kind of prayer that you need today, you need prayer, you're welcome to come to our altar. If you're here today and you'd like somebody to pray with you, we'll be glad to do that. If you're here today and God has spoken to you just a little bit, act on what it is that he's speaking to you today. Let's see what the Lord does.
You were my desire. one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find the way to bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you.
To get a little uncomfortable, to be a little uncomfortable, to get out of our comfort zone and to say, I'm going to put myself out there a little bit to allow people into my zone. And I know this is challenging for some of you because a lot of you got this wall around you. It's big, and some of us kind of bump into it and we look at it and we go, ooh, that hurt. And you ever try to do that? Try to get in close to somebody? You can say hi to anybody. I understand that. I'm not saying hi. But to try to find out about who they are, and then it's really hard. It's really hard. And so you know that they're not dropping that gate. And the only way you're going to do it is if you're a little bit more uncomfortable. I want to explain to you real quickly, then I'll let Abby close us out. We're having a meeting in about 10 minutes after church. And if you could help at our family fun night, it's one of the neatest things that we do. We've done it for 15 years. Now this will be our 15th year. It's fireworks, food truck, all that stuff. Next week, we'll have a whole list of where to park and what's going on. We've got two bands coming. We've got a magician. It's going to be really, really fun. And we do fireworks, end up closing out with fireworks. We've gotten just a lot of neat feedback from it. We're a little bit of a challenge this year because our road is closed. So I would encourage you to take, if you are on social media, to share those things, to invite people, to let them know that we're going to be here, because usually we put a sign out here. This year we're going to put a sign over at La Rose. It'll be over on Commerce Road. They're letting us put a sign over there, so we're going to have it over there. So you can help us do that. The meeting, here's who we're looking for. We're looking for all the people that have said that they would be one of the people that would help us during the festival. We need volunteers that'll set up. We need volunteers that'll be at our welcome booth still. We need some first aid people still. We need a couple volunteers. So if that's you, come back to behind the impact zone room. Now it's the fifth and eighth grade room. So that's where you're going to go about 10 minutes after service. Give us 10 minutes. Here's Abby.
Good morning, Impact Christian Church. My name is Abby Lucas, and I just have a few announcements about what is going on here at ICC. Today is Dollar Sunday, so if you do have a couple of extra dollars in your wallet or purse, please drop them in the blue jug in the back, and all of this money goes to our ministries that are not within our normal budget. Life groups are going to be kicking off in the next couple of weeks, so
yes,
please
ma'am.
Make sure you sign up for one of our eight groups that are being offered.
Sure.
Family Fun Night is going to be happening September 7th from 5:30 to 9. If you were interested in helping at all with a Family Fun Night, please make sure you stay after service today as we are having a meeting to discuss the final details. We are still looking for a couple of sponsors and a couple more booth vendors that would be interested in selling products or sponsoring our event. If that is you, please go see Mitzi Christian for sponsors, and for booths, please go see Carolyn Gregory. Tonight is the first night of youth group, and we are so excited to get kicked off from 5:30 to 7:30. So please make sure if you're a 6th through 12th grade kid, comes to youth group tonight. And also after service, if we could help stack the chairs, that would be great. September 8th, we are officially kicking off our Impact Zone worship area in the back for your kids to join. So please make sure you get them excited to start our new Sunday morning programs. If you were bringing food donations for the hub, please make sure you are putting them in the shopping cart in the foyer area so it can get transported to the hub. If you're a guest with us, we first want to say welcome to Impact Christian Church. And if you could, please fill out a blue connection card and put it in the clear box in the back. LICC, that is all the news I have for you. I hope you have a blessed and awesome week, and we'll see you next week. Bye.